Morning. Well, I thought a hurricane struck up here, man. Pulpits on the ground. Oh, the presence of the Lord is here this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're excited about the awesome things that are happening here at CLH on Wednesday nights. And we gave you just a little taste of kind of what's happening here. And the Lord is pouring out his presence in this place. And we're just seeing lives impacted, children's lives. I mean, just to hear that little girl say, to get saved. Amen. She comes to church because she wants to. She wants to get saved. Amen. And so we want to make sure that we provide that environment. Amen. A loving environment that every child that comes into this place can know that they are loved, that they are cared for, and that most of all, that they can know Jesus as their personal Savior. Amen. That's what it's about. Amen. This morning I've asked a sister to come up and share real quick. Sister Gwen, come on up here real quick, and I wanted Gwen to share something. We had a little prayer meeting yesterday. The weather was kind of bad for our adopt-a-block, and we still went out yesterday. A few of us did. I had a board meeting that I attended, but we had a little bit of a prayer time here yesterday, and Gwen shared something, and I wanted Gwen just to share a little bit of her heart this morning with you about what's happening here. Go ahead, Gwen.
About the Lord's homeless outreach ministry through CLH's Dream Center. I have a special place in my heart for this ministry because at one time I was homeless. And I know what it's like to walk in shame and hopelessness. We have a team that leaves Calvary Commission on Mondays. And we get to the church here. We leave about 4:30. And last week, I rode with the guys. I always ride with the guys when Jason and Patrick are driving because I'm the only female from Calvary Commission that goes. That's how the Lord sees to have it right now. But anyway, on the ride, we were just praising the Lord and just praying to the Lord and just so joyous to be the Lord's hands and feet and his mouthpiece. And we get to the church here at about 4:45, and we load up the coffee, and we bring the pastries and tables. And through the week, I'm able to collect clothes to take to pass out with the help of Patricia and my sisters at the ladies' dorm. And we team up with another ministry that's there, Juan Carlos and his church and some of the congregation. They bring food. Other people have been coming. Brother Bill meets us out there, and Sister Gina meets us out there. And we feel a need, but that's just an open door to bring the gospel.
Yes.
To these people in need. And it's not only the homeless, but it's also those who live in the community who are in need. And we're very excited about tomorrow because a couple of weeks ago, Susan came to Jason and I, and she said that her spirit had pressed upon her to cut their hair. So we passed out flyers last week, and we're very excited. You know, as many as possible are going to be able to get their hair cut. We have a couple, Eula and Sherry, who are sores at Calvary Commission, and Sister Sherry is going to be out there with Susan. We're very excited about what the Lord is doing through CLH and these different ministries. It is such an honor for the Lord to count us worthy to be his hands and his feet.
Amen. Amen.
And I would just like to say we have an abundance of women's clothes. We're never in need to pass our clothes to the ladies. But guys, we are really, really in need for clothing items for the men. You know, don't think that anything can be discarded that might not be appreciated and accepted, but we really need gently clothing for the men, socks, T-shirts, pants, jackets, whatever. You can bring it to the church on Wednesdays. You can give it to me. You can bring it on Sundays, or you can, if you're in the neighborhood through the week, you can leave it here at the church. We will get it, and we will pass it out, and we will be more than happy to have anybody to join us and be a part of what is really the Lord is really doing here at CLH's Dream Center. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. There's a place for everyone to serve here in this church. There's a place for everybody, and that's the environment that we want to create here. There's a place for everyone to make a difference in our city, amen, or in this world. I mean, we're a missions-minded church. We go not only globally, but again, we are locally as well, too. So we're just providing needs, and God is just blessing. God is doing amazing things. You know, who knows that where God guides, He always provides, amen? He always provides, and let me share a blessing with you guys this morning. David, would you pull that picture up for me this morning? Last week, before I left to Phoenix, I had come up and put a need before the church and a need that, of course, you saw Wednesday nights. We have anywhere from 50 to 70 children that we bring to the church every single Wednesday night. And bless Patrick and Tyler's heart, man. I'll tell you what, servants, and they've stepped up and answered the call to this ministry, because without them, I mean, we wouldn't be able to get these kids here. But they make several trips every single week, four or five trips, you know, to bring the children to the church. And you see their excitement. You saw in the video, they run. They're elated to be here. Why? Because love exists here. Amen. Because the love of Christ exists here. Well, guess what? The Lord has provided us a bus. Amen. Patrick, only one trip now, brother. Only one trip now. He's provided us this bus, and it was a blessing. You know, I put the need out before the church last Sunday, and I just want to again thank every single person who gave to this, because it's the heart of the Lord. And I mean, and the bus in itself is just a miracle. I mean, come on. We've been praying. You know, I went to Joe about 3 months ago, and I said, Joe, we need a bus. I said, the Lord is blessing us. He's calling us to start bringing the people to church. You know, and we've got to find a way. I said, Joe, we need a bus. And he went before our district council of the Assemblies of God and put it before the council. Well, they said, well, we'll see what we can do. We'll make the announcement and everything. And lo and behold, a brother from down in South Tyler said, well, we've got a bus that's sitting on our parking lot. You can use it. We were like, well, that's good and all, but Lord, you've got something for us, you know. And lo and behold, you know, when you're serving God and you're just, you know, you take what's in your hand and you're just serving the Lord and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you know, God provides. He provides. And it was on a Saturday morning. It was nasty and cold, and we were on our way to adopt a block, and, you know, we didn't want to go because it was just blustery. You know, the wind was just blowing, and we're on our way cruising down the road, and all of a sudden my mind was somewhere else, and somebody in the van yells out, Jason, look, there's a bus on the side of the road, man, there's a bus right there on the side of the road. And I'm like, come on, man, how, you know, a 70 passenger bus just, you know, just out of nowhere. You just don't see these things for sale every day, people. You know, God is continually just blowing my mind. Hallelujah, He's good. He's good like that. When it's His heart, He won't deny you. When it's according to His will, He won't deny you. And again, you know, it builds me up again. It says, okay, God, I know we're going the right direction. I know we're doing the right thing. Lord, thank you so much, Father. Lord, that you're just pouring out your truth and your faithfulness in our lives. Amen. So bless everybody who was able to give. And guess what? Church, this is not a me thing or Joe or anybody else. This is a family thing. We are a family here in unity, dwelling together for the cause of Christ, seeing lives changed and impacted for His purposes, for eternal purposes. Amen. And so this is a team. We're a team. And I love that, because I couldn't do it by myself, and I don't want to do it by myself. You know, I want us all to share in this awesome blessing and what God is doing right here at CLH, amen? He's doing amazing things. We've just only seen a small glimpse of it thus far, amen? Well, would you stand with me this morning, and let's pray this morning that the Lord would anoint this word this morning. And I don't want it to be my word this morning, because my voice is raspy. I've been yelling. I've been having some sinus problems, but that's all right. You know, I'm not at 100%, but God is always at 100%, amen? He's always at 100%. So, Father, this morning, God, we just give this time to you this morning, God. Lord, just speak to our hearts again this morning, God. Lord, lead us as you would have us to go, Father. Lord, show us your heart this morning, God. That, Lord, that you would be glorified again, God. Lord, this is not about me, Lord. This is about you, Lord God, and what you want to do through this church, God. And we just thank you again, Father, for your word this morning, God. Be with us this morning. Let our hearts be attentive, God, to what it is that you want to speak this morning. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Again, good to see everybody this morning. Bless you guys. You know, we just got back from Phoenix this past week, and it's nothing. I'll tell you, I love the heart of Pastor Tommy Barnett and the guys there at the Dream Center. But you know, I saw something. The theme of this conference was generations. And you know, and Pastor Joe, you know, has sown so much and believes in the people of the church, believes in the people who serves with him. And Pastor Tommy, I just see so much of the similarities in the two. And I love and I'm honored to be under my pastor because he has the same exact heart. And I saw that really this weekend. I was really, really able to draw some similarities between Pastor Joe and Pastor Tommy and what they've been doing all these years. And this church, again, is in the ministry. We have a heart just to serve, a heart that beats as God's heart, as his heart beats. Amen. And I saw this and what spoke to me the most is just the things that have been given to us and the things that have been given into our hand. And it inspired me that knowing that as long as we just continue to move forward. And Joe says this, as long as we continue to move forward in this life of faith that God has given us, God will continue just to open up. You know, faith isn't faith until we move. You know, it's faith is not faith until we begin to move. We can believe God to do things, but until we start taking those necessary steps, then faith is just a thought. It's just something that we just bounce around in our minds. But until we truly believe that God is going to do something and we begin to take those necessary steps, we begin to see him move. And that's what Pastor Tommy sowed in my heart, and that's what Joe has always sown in my heart. Just seeing the phenomenal, just seeing the extraordinary happen. And I don't want to leave this earth without ever experiencing the extraordinary. I don't want to leave this earth without experiencing the extraordinary and what God has for us in this church and in our lives, for our lives. And so, you know, this morning I want to share a little bit about us taking a stand. Taking a stand and moving with what we have. And the title of this message is that I can't stand anymore. Not that I can't stand up, but that I just can't stand it anymore. Growing up, anybody had any favorite cartoon characters growing up? Huh? One of my favorite cartoon characters was Popeye. Boy, I lived to watch Popeye. I would come home from school, I would shuck my homework, and because I knew that like at 3 o'clock or 3:30, that Popeye was coming on, man. And I had to watch me some Popeye the Sailor Man. I loved Popeye. I just, there he is. I love Popeye. And we know that in that cartoon that Popeye was regularly brutalized by Bluto, right? You remember Bluto, right? The bully. He was constantly being victimized by this guy. But Popeye had a famous saying. You guys remember what that saying was? And I can't stand, I've had all I can stands and I can't stands no more. Boy, and I used to love that saying, man. Because what happened after he said that? Boy, he would do anything that he could to get that spinach, right? To get to that can of spinach and to take that spinach down and start whooping up on Bluto, right? He had had all he could stand and he couldn't stand anymore. You know? And today I want to make that the anthem of my life. You know? But he would get to the point where, you know, Bluto would try to take olive oil and why Popeye fought for olive oil? Well, I don't know. I mean, look at her. She wasn't the most beautiful thing in the world, was she? But I guess beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Right? And I never understood that. It was a great mystery to me. I was like, man, she ain't all that worth it to take the rear end kickings that you take, man. You know? But he would say, I have had all I can stands and I can't stands no more. That was his famous saying. And he would do anything to get to that spinach in order to overcome that bully in his life. right? He would go to any extreme. He would be getting beaten and pounded on, right? And that spinach is popping around and going everywhere. But he would make a way that would seem, there would seem to be no way to get to that spinach. Well, you know, we can liken this children's cartoon to some aspects of our Christian lives, can we not? Because many of us regularly are beaten up by the Brutuses of our existences, right? You know, we've been talking about, you know, Pastor Joe and Tina, we were talking about the sins in our lives, the things that have come up against us, the things that we've allowed into our lives, and we continually entertain those things instead of getting rid of them, instead of saying, I've had all I can stand of this thing and I can't stand anymore. But yet we choose to sweep it under the rug, as Joe said. And it's time to do some spiritual house cleaning. It's time to start moving forward in our Christian lives and watching God do amazing things in and of our lives. But he's not going to do that until we finally take a stand and we say, just like Popeye, I've had all I can stand and I can't stand any more of this. Because, see, the thing could be in our lives. And God's just not going to magically make it disappear. That's not how he works. That's not how he builds the character in our lives. But we've got to come to a point in our lives where we recognize these things. And we begin to take the necessary steps to root these things out. We've got to read the Word. We've got to pray. We've got to be a part of a fellowship where we're learning and hearing the Word of God. See, that's the world out there right now that we're trying to get in this place so they can come and hear the unadulterated, inerrant Word of God every single Sunday morning. So they can start having victory in their lives. So they can start saying that I can't stand this life anymore that I'm living. That I can no longer stand the depression that I'm in anymore. I can no longer stand living a menial and marginal life anymore. My children not being taken care of. This is what we want our world to see. And this is what we want our world to be. But it only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit operating in their lives. And I like to liken that to that can of spinach. You know, though it only lasted, we know that at the end of those cartoons, right? When the next one came on, what happened? Popeye was in the same exact position and predicament again. Boy, does that not speak about our Christian lives? Because we have not won the victory and we've not taken the necessary steps and said, I can't stand it anymore. I cannot stand where I'm at anymore. But yet we continue to see this played out in our lives sometimes. And God is saying it's time to step out and get a God perspective on your situation, on your sin, on whatever it is that's plaguing your life, whatever's going on. We have to get a God perspective. If we turn to the book of Exodus, the second chapter, we'll leave Popeye to Olive. Please bear with me. I don't lose my voice. Be praying for me, please. Exodus, the second chapter, verses 11 and 12, it says, Now it came to pass that in those days when Moses had grown, that he had went out to his brother, and he looked and saw their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed that Egyptian, and he hid that Egyptian in the sand. Now I began to wonder, okay, so, you know, what really, you know, we can look at this verse and when I read the Word of God, I always try to question, God, what are you speaking? God, why did Moses kill this Egyptian? Well, I mean, we could read a lot into that. But ultimately, this is what the Lord spoke to me, that Moses came to a point in his life where he said, I've had all I can stand and I cannot stand anymore the way that these Egyptians are treating my brothers. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and kill somebody, okay, because of a situation that might be going on, all right, in your lives. But sometimes we need to kill that situation. We need to kill that thing in our lives that's causing so much damage and so much oppression in our lives. And Moses got to a point in his life where he said, I can't take it anymore. And he went to the extreme, did he not? He went to the extreme. He said, I cannot bear to watch these Egyptians anymore brutalize my people. And so what did he rose up, and it says that he killed this man. He killed him because he said he could not stand anymore. See, we must be willing to go to the extreme sometimes in our lives. We've got to be willing to go to the extreme to be willing. There's so many people that want to reach out and reach into our lives to help us progress through the things that are keeping us bound and keeping us ensnared in the slavery and the things that just continue to hold us back and what God wants for our lives. And God is telling us that we need to be extreme, that we need to reach out. Because those who are willing to go to the extreme, those are the ones that God will use to do the extreme. Amen? Those are the ones that God, if you're willing to go to the extreme, then God is willing to use you for the extreme. And see, and we're already seeing that the testimony of that bus to me is exactly that. You know, we're involved in a ministry in this church that most churches don't want. They're content with their little old meetings and you know the peaceful and the quietness of what's going on and being content just exactly where they are. But we're not. We're not content. We want to be extreme, and God wants to do the extreme in and through us. See, the Lord is seeing. Moses began to see this thing through the eyes of God, because if we read on, it says in Exodus 3:9, he says, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up before me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." See, it wasn't until Moses saw this thing the way that God saw it that he would use Moses. It's when Moses finally rose up and said, "I can't take this anymore," because see, it hurt the heart of God as well, because these were his people. And he heard their oppression. He heard their cries. And he says, "Now I've got a man. Now I've got a man who's after my own heart. I've got a man who sees things the way that I see them. Now I can use him. Now I can use him." And then Moses, of course, with his disqualifying accusations of his own self, says, "God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that you should bring the children of Egypt, bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He questions God, because this is a big thing that God is asking of him. But see, the Lord believed in him because, first of all, he had the very perspective of God. He had God's heart and God's perspective. And see, and when we get to that point in our lives, that's when God says, "Okay, now I can use you. Now I can use you." See, it's not our own efforts. It's not by what we can do and what we can come up and with our own plans and our own schemes. But it's when we have the very heart of God that God says, "Okay, now is the time. Now I can use you." Let me ask this question. When faced with a challenging situation, when the odds of success seem insurmountable, do you find yourself like Moses asking God, "Who am I to go and do this thing?" We all do, because it's a hard thing sometimes to step out into things that we don't understand. But again, faith should move us always. Trusting in what God can do should always move us. Because the Lord came to Moses and spoke to him, and he told him these things. He heard directly from the mouth of God as to the exact plan of how God wanted him to deliver his people. But sometimes we question those things. Though clarity is there, sometimes clarity is not there. And sometimes we really, really do have to trust and step out. But we've got to come to a point where we say, "You know what? I can't stand any longer to continue to stay in this same situation in my life. I need to move forward." Because we got to be moving forward in our Christian lives. We got to be going forward. We can't stay stagnant. The Dead Sea is a very stagnant place. It's a very hot place. It's a dead place. There's nothing there because it empties out into nothing. Everything pours into it and everything stops there. It's a big, gigantic hole in the middle of the earth. And there's nothing. It's dead. And that's what stagnation does. When we're not moving forward, we're essentially dead. We're dead before the Lord, if you will, in anything that he wants to use us for, to do the extreme, to step out and do these things. Do we shrink back in fear and see our inabilities instead of the possibilities? Think about that for a second. Do you shrink back and do you look at the impossibilities instead of the possibilities? Do you look at the negatives instead of the positives of things? We serve a big God. We serve a God that there is nothing impossible, the word says, for him. But he's looking for a people who will say, I can't stand it anymore. I can't stand it anymore. I must go on with you, God. You know, these same questions were running through Moses' mind. Who, me, God? Why me? What can I do? What can I possibly do? But see, that's when God asked him this question. And I love this. He said, Moses, what's in your hand? He asked him a simple question. Moses, what's in your hand? Well, he looks, and of course, what's in his hand? A staff, a stick. What good is this? It's just a stick. The only thing I can lead out of Egypt with this, maybe some dirty old sheep at the most. You know, what significance is this stick? But see, that staff, the staff of Moses, though it was a simple shepherd's stick, became the very staff in the hand of God, was it not? It was the very hand of God. With it, Moses performed miracles. He turned the Nile to blood, the gnats, the frogs, the snake that he threw down on the ground, the hail and the thunder coming from the heavens. He parted the Red Sea with it. That very insignificant thing. See, if we look at things through the natural, instead of getting God's perspective, then we're always destined to stay exactly where we're at. But it wasn't until God says, take that thing that's in your hand, Moses, that very thing that you think is so insignificant, and don't worry about it. I've got this. I've got this. You just be obedient and do what I say. And we know that Moses wrestled back and forth with God until finally God said, you just go tell him I am who I am sent you. And that's all you got to worry about. That's all we have to worry about. We serve the I am, the existent God, the architect of the universe, the one who has the planets and the universes all at his beck and call. And he can do the impossible. Church, he wants to do the impossible through this church, through the Dream Center, through the various ministries. But God is saying, what's in your hand? Do you see what's in your hand as being something insignificant that could not possibly even ever be used? Well, you've already failed. You've already failed. God has got something for you in this body. Something for you to make an impact in someone's life for eternity. Do not despise the small things. Do not despise humble beginnings. Do not look at something as so insignificant that it couldn't possibly make a difference in someone's life. Oh, look at Jason. He's got all these ministries going on. Man, that means absolutely nothing if I didn't have people who took what was in their hand and said, you know what? I'll give it, brother. I'll go forth and I'll see God move because I can't stand anymore staying in the situation of my life and seeing all these wonderful things going on. I can't take it anymore. I want to be used of God. And God is just simply saying, use what's in your hand. See, God can take our limited abilities and use them for great purposes. But the key is offering up those abilities, as feeble as they may be to him or even to us. But see, it's that insignificant thing in our hand that becomes the very staff in the hand of God. That bus, it's the hand of God. I had nothing to do with that. I had a desire. I had a prayer, and I said, God, I'm going to use that thing for your glory. God said, okay, I'm going to give it to you then, because it's going to be used to glorify him. This is not Jason Abney's bus ministry. This is God's bus ministry, because he loves his children. He loves his people, and he wants to get them in the house of God, to hear them, to get them to a place where they can hear his voice, where the word of God, faith, the word says that faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, we can take it to the streets, and that's what we're doing. But we've got to assimilate them in the body as well and show them that there is a community, a family of people who want to nurture them, who wants to grow them. You know, we were talking yesterday, Tina was talking about Hosea's door. And I began to think, that we have, you know, some of our girls from the blocks and some of our ladies from the blocks have been able to be ministered to through that ministry. And she said something. She said, you know, it's because of what God is doing and bringing a community of people together that what's in Tina's hand is able to be shared
and something great God is doing is blossoming, and it's happening right here. And it's because we're just stepping out. We're stepping out, and we're just taking what seems insignificant to us sometimes and just giving it to the Lord and watching Him do great, mighty things. Nehemiah was another man. He was another man. He said, I can't stand it anymore. I cannot stand the wicked sins of my people. And God, you've scattered our people because of that. And today, God, I come before you and I pray, God, that you would reconsider, God. That you would wipe away the sins of our nation, God. He interceded for his people, for his nation. Because he couldn't stand to see the city of God in ruins anymore. And he knew the purpose of why it had been taken to such a state. And he said he couldn't stand it anymore. He prayed to God, and God gave him favor with a wicked king. And that king sent him back with papers and said, you go rebuild that city. When everything else, when all opposition, Sanballat and all of his crew came and tried to discourage Nehemiah, what did he do? He persevered on. Why? Because he said, I can't stand anymore to see my God's city in ruins like this. I cannot stand to see my people anymore in the situation and the plight in which they exist today. He took a stand. He took a stand. David no longer could stand and see that uncircumcised giant mock his God. And he took a stand. As Saul even tried to give him some cumbersome armor that wasn't the thing that God had put in his hand, was it? No, another man tried to put that in his hand. See, we can't take somebody else's anointing and think that God's going to use it. We can't take that other gift that somebody else has and think that God's going to use it. God is going to use what's in our hand. And what did he have in his hand? He had a sling and a stone. And God took that insignificant little piece of rock and slayed a 9-foot giant with it. Because he believed. David believed, and he said, I have had all I can stand, and I can't stand no more. How dare you, Goliath, stand and defy the armies of the living God? I won't stand for it anymore. David got a God perspective. He got a God perspective. You know, when I was in school in the fifth grade, I had, you know, we all have our favorite teachers in elementary. You guys all have a favorite teacher that you just loved. I had Miss Otterholt. I love Miss Otterholt. Boy, and she loved me. She did. I guess she thought I was just the cutest little thing running around there with my frizzy hair and my afro back in the day. And she just loved me. And she made me a teacher's pet or a teacher's aide. But I was her pet, though. But she made me a teacher's aide, you know, and that was like one of the sought after things in elementary school. You wanted to be the teacher's aide, right? You guys remember the old film strips? Some of you might be that old, right? Where you heard they had the cassette playing, and every time you heard the beep, you had to go beep and you had to turn the thing, right? Remember that? Boy, I'd love to work that little projector thing or the reel-to-reel projector, right? You know, we didn't have computers throwing images up on the screen and stuff back in them days. I am that old, y'all, okay? But I used to love, beep, turn the film. Yeah, I got this, y'all. You know? But you know what? I was ridiculed. I was made fun of for being the teacher's pet. You know? Kids already didn't like me because I just had that type A personality, you know? And, you know, I always had something to say if you've not gotten that already. Those of you who have known me. But I was ridiculed for being, I was called the teacher's pet. Oh, they called me everything but a child of God. You know, they did. And I got discouraged. I got discouraged, and I didn't want to be the teacher's pet anymore, the teacher's aide anymore. But see, I went to Miss Otterholt, and I said, Miss Otterholt, I can't be the teacher's aide anymore. She said, well, why? What's going on, Jason? She said, excuse me. I said, well, you know, the kids are teasing me. They're calling me a sissy and teacher's pet and everything else. Said, you know, she goes, come here, Jason. Let me talk to you. She said, you know, while the other kids are doing their test and stuff, I have you grading the test. Says, you help me with, you get to see the grade book. You know, you get to do the film strips. You know, you get to, you know, she started given me a whole new perspective of why I was her teacher's aide. And seeing it took the negative things, all the negative connotations that were coming from the ridicule, and totally evaporated them because she gave me a new perspective and a new outlook of why I was doing what I was doing. She made me feel special. She made me feel special. And each one of you sitting here before me this morning is special in the eyes of the Creator. You have a special purpose that He has called you to. She made me feel special. She gave me a new outlook on what I was doing. And see, and after I listened to her, I then decided to stop listening to my peers. I stopped listening to them. I stopped listening to them to their ridicule. And I developed a whole new outlook on this thing. And as my peers were trying to pull me down and pull me away from this thing, I just continued to remember that I was special in Miss Otterholt's eyes. And it made me feel good that I can be used in that way. And see, I had to get to a point in my life, at that point in time in my life, where I had to take a stand. I had to take a stand for what was right. I didn't get any real special treatment. I had to take the same tests. I had to do the exact same work. I wasn't given any special treatment. We know that God is no respecter of persons in that way as well. But when we are willing to take that step out of the norm and of the ridicule and the negatives and everything else, God is ready to use us in a mighty way. And He says, look, my special child. I love Brother Joe. I'm just going to brag on you some more. Brother Joe stepped out and did the impossible. Challenging the impossible is his book. Inspiring, man. I want to challenge the impossible. I want to go beyond the norm. And when we listen to what God says about us, we can go beyond these things. We get the right perspective. And as Christians, it's not only important for us to see ourselves as God sees us, but we also need to see our situations and our circumstances and everything that's going on in our lives the exact same way that God sees them. Because it's then and only then are we going to get on top of it and begin to move and do the necessary things to overcome these things. You know, we've been talking, in the last couple of weeks, you know, we've been talking about sin and about mocking God and how these things separate us from His presence and separate us from what God wants to do in our lives. But until we get to a point in our lives where we say we can't stand it anymore, we can't stand to be in this place anymore, then we're never going to move forward and never see God move and do what He wants to do. See, God takes no account of our abilities or the lack thereof. He takes no account of our abilities or the lack thereof our abilities. He only sees our possibilities. He only sees the possibilities. What He looks for in people who are willing to accept the challenge and meet the need, that's what He's looking for. He's looking for willing and the obedient. And He says what? Those who are will do what? Will eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. I mean, is that not an awesome promise? But why is it so discouraging sometimes that we can't see beyond our situation to the promise? Because see, we're not at a point in our lives where we've said, I can't stand this anymore. I can't stand this sin in my life anymore. I can't stand being a hypocritical Christian because I'm living this dual life. And I'm not talking about works, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. But we've got to get an attitude, a God attitude about what's going on in our lives. Because until then, if nothing changes, nothing changes. If nothing changes, nothing changes. And I said this yesterday, if we do what we've always done, we will be where we've always been. Insanity is what? Doing the same thing and expecting different results. This is the stigma of our Christian lives sometimes. But we've got to get to a point, brothers and sisters, where we say enough is enough. Enough is enough. And again, I know we're in the dispensation of grace. We are. But God is not, He's not just some slot machine or just some magical being out in the universe that's just going to go, poof, you're better. That's not what it's going to take. It's taking us recognizing, first of all, acknowledging it, bearing ourselves before Him, saying, God, I'm lost without You, Father. All this garbage in my life, God, I pour it before you right now, Father. Will you come and dump it and take it away? I'm sick of the rats. I'm sick of the roaches. I'm sick of the vermin in my life. I'm sick of being where I've been. I've had all I can stand, and I can't stand anymore, Lord. I can't do it anymore, God. And it's when we get to that point, that's humility. And God, what? Exalts the humble. He gives grace to the humble. He says, okay, child, you're ready now. You're ready. But we got to live it out. We've got to walk it out. It's not just lip service. Honoring the Lord with our lips, but our heart far from Him. That's not it. That's not it. We've got to continue to make those steps in our lives, not to wallow in it. We need to learn to make troubles our servants. We need to make troubles our servants. We also need to see situations that challenge our abilities as opportunities to see God empower our feeble efforts. We need to allow God to move in our lives and see troubles as possibilities to do awesome and great things. I used to, you know, at one point in my life, I used to look at just the negative things in life. In business, you know, I wouldn't accept a challenge sometimes. You know, if it seemed impossible, I would just say, man, I can't do that. But see, praise God that I got to a point in my life where I said, I've had all I can stand of that garbage and I can't stand anymore. Lord, if there's a problem in a situation, God, I want to see it solved. Not in my own efforts, not because I want to see it, but God, because I know it's something that you have put on my heart to do. To move past these things in our lives is what God is calling us to do. See, God doesn't allow us to be tempted beyond that which we are able, does He? Neither does He challenge us without supplying His help. See, He doesn't ever bring a challenge without putting something there to help us. He's always there. He's an ever-present God in time of need, is He not? Paraphrasing that, He is an ever-present God in our time of need. He's always there, and He'll never, ever put you up against something where He's not going to provide you for. And as I said at the start of this message this morning, where God guides, He provides. Money follows ministry. Ministry don't follow money. If that were the case, then we'd be right at square one still. No children here on Wednesday nights. No growth in the church. We'd still be right where we're at. But God is the God of the impossible. He's the God of the impossible. And I want to see the impossible. We can look at Paul and what Paul learned through facing insurmountable obstacles with his own limited abilities. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says, and God says to me that my grace is sufficient for you, that my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly will I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We are nothing. It's not about works. I'm not up here preaching works this morning. Because works have gotten me nowhere in life. But looking at my inabilities and saying, God, I can't, but you can. He says, oh, I'm ready to do it now, Jason. He's ready to do it in our lives. But we got to get to a point, brothers and sisters, where we say, I can't stand it anymore. See, inside every human being is a miracle. Inside each and every single one of us is a miracle waiting to be birthed. It's waiting to be birthed, waiting to be discovered, waiting to be released. And God is challenging us today to step up and step out and say like Popeye, it's all I can stand and I can't stand anymore. Lord, I've got to go on with you, God. I've got to go on with you in my situation, Lord. I cannot stand the sin in my life hindering my walk anymore with you, God. I can't stand my life that's full of hypocrisy. Coming to church, praising you on Sunday and acting like a heathen the rest of the week. God, I can't stand that anymore, God. I can't stand it anymore, Lord. I can no longer stand to see the plight of our children of our city living fatherless in this fatherless generation, God. Lord, I can't stand it anymore, Lord. I want to stand up and be that father, that mentor to that little girl and that little boy, that they may have a chance in life, that they may come to know you as their Lord and Savior. God, I can't stand it anymore. God, I can't stand our youth anymore being programmed by MTV and all this wickedness and this media that's poisoning their minds. God, I can't stand it anymore, Lord. I will not stand for it anymore, God. We've got to get to that point in our lives where we are going to take a stand for God, for His values, for His principles, for His word, and not allow people to go by the wayside and die. See, that's not the heart of this church. It never has been and it never will be. This is a church with a heart, with God's heart. And beating within every single individual, I believe, in this church is exactly that, or the potential thereof, if you know Him. If you know Him as your Savior and your Lord, most of all. See, there's a big difference. A lot of people know Him as Savior, but is He your Lord? Is He the one that calls the shots? He's got to call the shots. He's the shot caller in my life today. And I love Him for that. I love that no more is it I that live, but that Christ lives in me. No longer to myself, but God, in the power and the might of Your Holy Spirit, God, that today, Father, You rule and You reign, God, over my circumstances, over my inabilities, over my inadequacies, over my anger, my temper, all these things, God. I can't stand them anymore, Father, because they are impeding my Christian life today and not allowing me to step out, God, in what You have for my life. Are you willing to lay that down today, brothers and sisters, the things in your life this morning that have been holding you back? Mariah, would you come this morning? We've got to get hungry for God. We've got to get a God perspective. God hated the things that were taking place in Sodom and Gomorrah. What did He do to it? He annihilated it. He flattened it. There was nothing left. Is that the perspective that you have on your sin or the things that are hindering you in your Christian life? Are you seeing it through the eyes of God? Or are you continuing just to believe what you want to believe about your situation and that it'll just go away maybe one of these days? God is calling us to